I thought there was something on the ground there, but it's not. I thought something that dropped off the microphone. Okay. So actually, before I get into my message portion this morning, I need to show us something. This is something that I do year after year. You know, most of you know, I don't repeat my messages. I don't give old messages and repeat them. However, there is one message that I, in one way or another, I talk about each and every year. And I do it because I think it's really important, and I do it to make a point. So again, at this time of the year, I'm going to show us this again. This year, I'm calling it Jewish fake news, just to keep in times, keep with the times now. It's Jewish fake news, and that is the fake news that the traditional rabbis have been reporting to the Jewish communities for far too long. In the past, I've called it conspicuous by absence, meaning that if you look at it and you really look at it and you realize it's missing, there's something missing in there, then it makes it very conspicuous. And I'll give you the example. If I showed you a portion of the beginning of the alphabet and it said A, B, C, E, F, G, you would look at it and right away you would know that the D is missing, and it would be very obvious because there's a space in there, there's a letter that you know by heart, and it's missing, so you would know that the D is missing. And so that would make it conspicuous by absence. And so this morning, what we have is that's conspicuous by absence is the fact that Isaiah chapter 53, and actually it's Isaiah 52:13 through the end of chapter 53:12, that it's been removed from the yearly Haftarah cycle. You know, we have our the words of the prophets, the writings of the prophets, and every year we go through it, and there are usually, especially in Isaiah, we read entire sections of Isaiah, and they all line up, and they all we get to see it. So let's look at our first slide, and I'll show this, and actually I use these sort of year after year. So here what I've done is, and for the sake of people that are listening on the web and they don't see the PowerPoints, I'll just sort of bear with me, and I'll just read these out so when people are only listening to the audio, they'll be able to understand hopefully what's going on. So here what I've done is I've looked at this year's four Haftarah portions dealing with Isaiah. So we have, starting with August 4th, we have Ikev. And then we had the next week was Re'eh, and then Shaftim last week, and then this week Ki Tetzeh, August 25th. And so what we look at them is we have Isaiah, but they're jumbled around a little bit. So what I've done is, so it's easier for us to see it, we look at the next one, I've rearranged them. So they're not chronologically arranged, but they are arranged according to the portion of Isaiah. So in our 4 weeks, this is what we have. We have Isaiah starting with chapter 48, going all the way through the end of Isaiah 54. See? Or Isaiah 55. And it ends with Isaiah 55:5. However, let's separate them, and we'll see there is something missing between Shaftim and Ki Tetzeh. And if you see, Shaftim ends with 52:12, and then Ki Tetzeh this week begin with Isaiah 54:1. So something's missing in there. All right, let's fill it in. And it's Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12. That is our Isaiah. We call it usually, commonly, Isaiah 53, but it also includes a couple of verses, I think five verses before Isaiah 53 as sort of a setup. That's what is missing. That's what the rabbis have taken out of the yearly Haftarah cycle of reading. That's what I want you to look at and realize. It's very conspicuous by absence, and that means we should look into this and we should look at it a little bit more and see exactly what's going on with it. So now, I point to this every year because it is important to us. And it should be important to the Jewish, greater Jewish community, but they don't realize that. But I would like someone to be able to get out there and give the true news and oppose the fake news that's out there, and to let people in the Jewish community, even if Jewish people, and it's really true, so many Jewish people today, they don't know the scriptures, they don't care about the scriptures, they don't get into the scriptures, they don't know Isaiah from Shmaisaiah. They don't know it. But if we would point out to them, hey, this is what happens in the synagogue, and each week we read from the Haftarah, most of them understand that, they remember it, or they know it, and you say, you know, there's a portion that is missing. The rabbis have taken it out. Why would the rabbis take it out? So if we approach it in that way, maybe they will, just maybe they will have enough reason to question it and to find out, well, why is it missing? And so it is important to us, just maybe, that we should say the truth, and that is that the traditional rabbis have taken this out to cover something up so that the Jewish communities around the world would not see this truth. And so some people term it the forbidden chapter. They talk about the forbidden chapter. And it could show the Jewish world that it is a calculated effort that's been made to keep Jewish people from the truth of their salvation. Every week, it's part of our liturgy. Oh Lord, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. We say it every week. Sometimes people, if they go to the synagogue services, it might only be in Hebrew, and they don't know that's what they're praying to God, but it is there in their liturgy, because each week the prayers include, O Lord, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. And so we don't want anything that would keep them from the truth of their salvation. So I present this in one way or the other every year, the forbidden chapter. You know, in the 17th century, there was actually a mathematician. He was a philosopher. His name was Raphael Levy. And he reported, and this is what he said. He said, long ago, the rabbis have taken out this forbidden chapter out of Isaiah, out of the cycle of Haftarah portions. And he said it was taken out because it caused arguments and great confusion. And he went on to say, and so they decided that the simplest thing to do would be to take that prophetic portion out of the Haftarah cycle of readings in the synagogues. And so he said this in the 17th century, and he said that long ago the rabbis did this, so we don't know how much earlier before it, but we know that it was quite a long time ago that the rabbis decided to take Isaiah 50, end of 52, and Isaiah 53 out. And so, again, although we call it Isaiah 53 for convenience sake, we have to understand those verses of the end of Isaiah 52 are just as important as Isaiah 53. And so what happens, Isaiah is introducing Isaiah 53 in the five chapters, the five verses, he sort of sets up the next 12 verses. Isaiah 53 is only 12 verses long, by the way. And so for five verses, he is setting up what he is telling the people in Isaiah 53. So what I want to do this morning, this is what I want to talk to us about in maybe a little different, looking at a little different angle this morning. So let's go to Isaiah 52 verse 10 and look at the setup before he is speaking about that we know Isaiah 53 is talking about the Messiah. So this is what he says in Isaiah 52:10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And let's always remember that whenever we, you know, so many times people will say, well, if Yeshua is really the Jewish Messiah, wouldn't God have put his name somewhere in the Bible? But let's realize that Yeshua means salvation. And so not every time, but so many times that the Word of God says salvation, if we just plug in the name Yeshua, it sort of makes perfect sense here. And so we read it, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eye of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the Yeshua of our God. And so this is sort of our introduction, our setup. Not only is the term arm of the Lord used here, but it's also used to give a picture of God lowering himself, so to speak, lowering himself to become the one that we know as Messiah. And he's uncovering, so to speak, his holy garment and bearing his arm. So if we look at that picture, that God in his holiness, and he has on a holy garment, and what he does is he bears his arm for all the nations to see, by the way. In a sense, lowering himself for all of us to see. Coming in human form, that's how he lowered himself. Actually being born in the flesh, that's how he lowered himself. And so we see this picture right away in the setup of God is getting prepared to tell us in 12 verses in Isaiah 53 about the Messiah in very detailed verses here. And so let's go and look at the arm of the Lord just a little bit more and see what the arm of the Lord really is in the entire book of, we see it in the entire book of Isaiah. So Isaiah 40:10. And also we'll look at 51 because we see a few things about the arm of the Lord. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. So what do we know? The arm of the Lord is going to rule. He is going to rule and he's going to reign. Isaiah 51, my righteousness is near. My Yeshua has gone forth, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. And so God says me, and God says my arm. He's talking about himself, but he's talking about his arm and what his arm is going to do, and yet he says me. And so my arm they will trust. Awake, awake, put on strength of the arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that wounded the serpent? So we see that the arm of the Lord, 40, is going to rule for God. And we know that the arm of the Lord is going to judge the people. And the coastlands, all the other nations are going to wait upon him. And they will trust in the arm of the Lord. And then he says that he is of the Ancient of Days. And then those last few words, we see that he is... And let's remember, by the way, that... Well, let's go to, okay, so here we have 700 years before Yeshua is born. Let's go to one more Genesis 3:15, because we saw the arm of the Lord is going to crush the serpent. And so we go way back to Genesis, And God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. So whoever the seed is, first of all, why is it written in this way? You know, in the Bible, it always talks about the seed of the man, the seed of the man. You know, the lineage always was shown through the men, the tribal lineage through the men. But this is the one instance that God says, between your seed and her seed, the woman's seed. Why? Because the woman doesn't have a husband. It's only the woman's seed. There's no husband's seed because the woman is a virgin. And so whoever this is that he's going to put between the serpent and the woman, there is going to be, and we could say it's the arm of the Lord, he is going to bruise the serpent's head, crush his head, and he is coming from the seed of a woman who doesn't have a husband, because it's coming from a virgin. So Isaiah was 700 years before Yeshua. This is 3,300 years before Yeshua was born. Okay. Then let's go. It's followed up with three verses later. Let's look at Isaiah 52:13. Getting a little closer to Isaiah 53. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And so he talks about the arm of the Lord, and we see what the arm of the Lord is in Isaiah, and he talks about all these things, these attributes of the arm of the Lord, and now he goes right into speaking seamlessly. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, raised very high. You know, in the world today, servants have their place in the world. But in the world, the exalted and high level positions are for kings and princes and queens, but not servants. But God's servant is going to be a servant, and yet he is going to be exalted and lifted high. Now we know that Yeshua came and he was a servant. He came to serve man. He came as a servant. He came to heal. He came to teach. He came to serve the people, so to speak. Yet he's going to return, and he's going to be king, and he's going to be exalted, and he's going to be lifted up. And so even today, we lift him up, and we acknowledge him as being God's servant, God's arm of the Lord, and yet at the same time, we lift him up, and we lift up the name of Yeshua. And so this is who the servant, as we get closer and we get right before Isaiah 53, this is who Isaiah is speaking of. So with all of this, then Isaiah gives us our 12 verses. The forbidden chapter, that they say, the chapter that was cut out by the rabbis. Listen, even if we didn't get to Isaiah 53, this is why they cut out the introduction, because even the introduction is a little, for them, confusing and may give up, you know, cause a lot of arguing. And so the 12 verses, giving us the most specific details of who Messiah is. And I'm not going to read those 12 verses in their entirety. However, let me just say that this is what those 12 verses, and if you, I can't imagine here no one never opening Isaiah 53 and reading it. But after, when you get some time, it's only 12 verses, read them and see how specific it is. But let me tell you, they tell us of Yeshua's reason for coming, why he even came to earth, why he didn't just stay with God the Father, how he was tortured and slain, how he was treated by his own people when he was on the earth, how he was raised from the dead is in Isaiah 53, and even how he was buried is in Isaiah 53, and he was buried in a very specific way. And how his shed blood atoned for our sins. So what I'll do is I'll just read the ending of Isaiah 53, because it gives us sort of, it sums it all up and tells us why it is important for each and every one of us to understand, and why is it important for us to show the Jewish people out there that we know, if they're our family or our friends or just people that you know out there. And so be ready, willing, and able to let people know that this is an important chapter in God's word that has been systematically taken out by the traditional rabbis. And so we'll look at the, just at the very end, Isaiah 53. And I'm looking at verse 11 and verse 12. My righteous servant, again, the servant that he, as he was introducing Isaiah 53, once again, he says, my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities, their sins, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, with the sinners. And he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. How more detailed and plain can it be explained? He intercedes for sinners. He has taken the place of the sinner. He intercedes for us. And what he does it so that we can have eternal life. It's not a wild concept. It's not a messianic concept, a messianic Jewish. We didn't make it up. It's certainly not a Christian concept. It's a concept that God gave the prophet Isaiah to speak to the people. And he made intercession for the transgressors. And that's us. Amen. Amen. The words of Isaiah are words of hope for each and every one of us. They are words of hope for the entire world, if they would only listen to them. And it's certainly words of hope to the Jewish communities out there, if they would only listen. We have a glorious future, and it's made possible by the one who was wounded, who shed his blood and died for the sinners, as spoken by God himself through one of the greatest Jewish prophets, Isaiah. These are words, and like I said, every year I'll bring this up in one way or another. This morning I talked about the armor of the Lord. In other years I'll talk a little bit more about Isaiah 53 another way and from a different angle. But this is something that we really should be putting out there and letting people know. The truth of their salvation. Not just the truth of Jewish people's salvation. It's the truth of the salvation for all of the nations, for all men and women around the world. So, and next year I'll do it again, but we'll do it in another way and we'll look at it through a different angle. So be prepared what's going to happen next year. But the thing is, this is God's truth. And we should be speaking God's truth to a dying, dying world. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Praise your Lord.